Good morning.
Oh, that was great. I got about two. Yeah, that was really good. Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Jesus is alive. Woohoo! Who's happy about today? Three people. Great. Jesus is alive. Hooray! Woohoo! Amen. Amen. Say to the person next to you, Jesus is alive, and he thinks you're great. And you go. Amen. Amen. If we can't get excited about church today, we never will. Okay? It's great to be here. Now, boys and girls, I'm about to ask you a question, and you could give me the kind of Sunday school answer to Jesus, right? I'll ask you a lot too, and that's not a wrong answer to give, right? But if my talk won't work if you just say that, so say something else. Okay, right, so I'm about to ask you, okay, boys and girls, what are some of the things in life that get you excited, that get you out of your chair, or things that you really like that get you like kind of woohoo about life the way I've just done? What are some of those things? I'll pick on people if you don't tell me. Cameron, what about you? You caught my eye, unlucky. What about you? Christmas. Yeah, good call. Presents and tinsel and all that. Cool. Excellent. Balcony, MD. Isaac, yeah. Food. Yeah, that makes sense for you. Yeah. Gregor? Man United, woohoo. 3-1 yesterday, played really well. That's right. Lucas, what about yourself? Rugby. Jimmy, what about you, Phil? Sorry. Music gets you excited. Clive, what about you? English cricket team winning. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. I'm picking one more. Okay. Gavin, what about you? What gets you excited?
Formula One.
Did you watch it this morning? No, you weren't watching it this morning. Okay. Right, guys. All these things get us excited, and that's cool. Okay. Sometimes in church, you kind of think, you say, Jesus gets us excited. And that's okay. Jesus should get us excited. But God's actually okay with us enjoying other things. One of the things that I enjoy, and this won't come as a great surprise to those of you who know me a bit better, is Rangers. Okay, I'm really passionate. I'm a Rangers fan. Okay, for better or for worse, that's who that's who I support, right? Now, I'm going to paint you a picture of what starts off as a good story. There was one bit in this story that was tragic, okay? And then, actually, hopefully, some of you are going to do me a bit of a favour, okay? I need you to picture the scene. This was last Saturday afternoon in our house. Bethany and I's house. Those who don't know me, I'm married to a beautiful lady called Bethany. And my role in the house is to do this, boys and girls. What am I doing? Washing dishes, not just to look at the dishes. Sometimes I do that, though. Oh, there's a dish that needs clean. You know. It's my job. I'm part of the cleansing department in our kitchen. Okay, I do the washing of the dishes. Bethany does the cooking. That's my role. And there's nothing I love more, boys and girls. Then on a Saturday afternoon, we've got friends coming later on and to do the dishes. Right, okay, that's brilliant. Saturday afternoon, forget watching football, going for a curry or catching up with friends. Washing dishes, that's it for me. Okay, cool, right? So last Saturday afternoon, we had a kind of, you know that way in your kitchen, I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to Bethany. In your kitchen, when you've not got a clean teaspoon to make a cup of coffee, right, sort of thing. So we'd reached that point in the cleansing department, right? So we'd reached that bit. So I had to do the dishes, but this was made all the more bearable by I had my iPad on and I was listening to Rangers playing at the time. Okay, they were playing a football superpower called Cowden Beath, right? And I wanted to picture the scene. This is us in the kitchen. Oh, sorry, I'm in the kitchen here, right? And Bethany was in our living room, which is right next to us. Okay, and so she was doing her thing away, and she was making the room. I had guests coming last Saturday night. So she's making the place look good. And she was doing that thing, you know that thing that women do when they get cushions in a chair, right? And then they sort of bash it until it kind of sits extraordinarily, like sort of thing. That's the way it should go. But then when people come in, I noticed this last Saturday night, Phil was there, right? They kind of came into the living room and you see all these cushions sitting perfectly well and you're like, where do you sit? You know, it's a perfectly comfortable living room, and that's the idea, right? That everybody's terrified to sit in it, okay? Now, it was all going quite well, okay? Now, where did I pick up the story? What was going on? Bethany was working all in there, right? And I'm here doing the dishes, and I was listening to the game, and Rangers were drawing one each with about 10 minutes to go, okay? Now, it's a picture scene. This is where I need you, Gordon. I need you to stand about there, okay? Now, just so we're in character, okay? Gordon, if you could put this on, that'd be really, really helpful. I'm in character, so there's no reason why you shouldn't be. Right. So on the first... it suits them, doesn't it? So I'm doing the dishes here, and I'm listening to the iPad there, and as I say, it's one each. Okay, the team that Rangers are trying to catch in the league and all that, they weren't winning at the time, so I was getting a bit nervous. And then washing the dishes and probably scrubbing too hard and getting a bit nervous, and all of a sudden, hallelujah, Rangers scored. So Rangers scored there, and I was like, yes, woohoo, Bethany, guess what, Rangers scored. Okay. Oh, no. And I was dead excited and dead happy that Rangers scored, gave her a big kiss. So she scored to go 2-1, okay? Then two minutes later, doing the dishes again, surprise, surprise, Rangers scored again. So what did I do? Run up and then give her a big kiss, okay? So happy, okay? But now, every time, just to put it in context, every time Bethany's saying to me, Colin, why are you doing this? And I'm like, I'm just happy to see you, of course. No, I didn't say that. I was just being honest. I said, Rangers scored, so I was so happy, and then I gave her a big kiss. Then 2 minutes later, doing the dishes. And Rangers, this is a great surprise, Rangers scored again, right, okay? And whoosh, and I gave her a big kiss, okay? And I was so happy, okay? And then it was this moment where things went wrong. I never thought that Bethany would ever use lines or words that my mother used, okay? At this moment, the third time after giving her a hug, she said this phrase. She said, Colin, I hope you get as excited about Jesus as you do about the Rangers. I promise you that's what she said, okay? That's what she said there. And I was really chumped. I was like kind of stumped and challenged by that. But if I'm being honest, I was really fearful thinking, that's exactly what my mother and my gran before her said, okay? Right, now, so I'm going to go and see my mum this afternoon, right? We're doing the whole family Easter thing. So you lot, you're going to help me out, okay? I'm going to prove I get excited about Jesus as I do about the Rangers, okay? Right, so Adam, I need you to stand up. Adam, you've used one of these before, haven't you? Okay, you're going to record me, right? Okay, so you just press the wee camera thing. You know how to do it. Don't phone Australia. So here, he's got the phone over there. Catherine, you need to be in position of over a bit here. When you come, Helen, you too, you need to be a bit there. Right, okay. Now, we're going to do a wee dress rehearsal before we video. Okay, what's going to happen is, I'm going to be doing the dishes here. All of you are going to shout, Jesus is alive, at the top of your voice. Okay. After that, I'm then going to go to lovely Bethany. I'm going to give her a big kiss, and we're going to an outpouring of emotion, right, of how great Jesus is alive, okay? Are you worried, Gordon? Don't worry. Okay, right, so we all get the idea? Okay, so maybe Catherine, if you could give us if you start recording, right, and then you give a countdown to the audience, go like that, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then we'll do it. You have me? So you go like that, and then all of you need to shout Jesus alive. So let's do that bit. No, louder.
Jesus.
So the camera picks up, right, okay? If you give them a countdown, I'll do the dishes, okay?
Jesus alive!
Jesus alive! Wow! Brilliant! Yes! Woohoo! Oh, give me a big kiss! There we are. Come on, come here. I'm living life with Jesus. I love my life with Jesus. Every day I'm living. If you know the song of Jesus, I'm loving, I love my life with Jesus. He always makes my day. Jesus better than the Rangers. Okay, thank you. Thank you, big clap from the audience. Thank you very much. I get really excited when Rangers score a goal. I get even more excited, and people, MD who slightly knows me, I think they would know this, so much more excited about Jesus. Today is Easter Sunday. Jesus is incredible. He's absolutely incredible. Can I have that verse, Kirsty? Jesus said this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Jesus is so worth it today. He is so, so, so incredible. Okay? What Jesus is trying to communicate here is we need to give our all to Jesus. Absolutely everything. He doesn't want us to hold anything back. He wants us to give it all to Jesus. He really, really does. And he is so, so worth it. Rangers score. Hallelujah. They beat Hearts today. Brilliant. Jesus is so much more important, so much more incredible than any tongue or my tongue could ever tell. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you're alive today. Thank you that you are not dead in some tomb. Thank you that you are so great, so that you're so incredible. Lord God, may all of us here, regardless of circumstance or situation, Lord God, may today we just celebrate that you are alive. You've given us a lovely, beautiful day to enjoy in tune. Lord God, may we just know how great you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just finish with this wee thought. I'll be very quick. 5 years ago, just now, I went to Israel. I went on the tour, and they take you around what they call the Garden of Gethsemane, and they take you into the tomb. And I've been really honest. When I went into the tomb, you read the scriptures as you're going around these places, right? See, when I went into the tomb, I promise you, this is my thought process. When I went into the tomb, I kind of peered in like this. I wonder if Jesus is there. I promise you, that's what I thought. I wonder if he's still there. So when I went into the tomb, and obviously, as you can imagine, it's just a big stone bit, okay? And the people who are in charge of it, they don't claim this is exactly where Jesus is buried. They just say it was near here. Hallelujah, that Jesus is alive. But he wasn't there. He is alive. He is alive today, and that's what we're celebrating today. Amen.
I have to say, I'm not sure how to follow that, but you'll be glad to know there's no wigs. It's hard to imagine what it must have been like for those two men as they walked down that road to Emmaus. What they must have felt like that day. It was 3 years since they met him, since they'd given up everything to follow him. 3 years of the most extraordinary, incredible stuff. People who were blind could see again. People who had been born paralyzed got up and walked. People who had leprosy would come for miles just in the hope of touching him. Then there was a time in the boat. The storm was raging, and with the words, he calmed the storm. And of course, there was Lazarus. Can't forget Lazarus. Lazarus, dead for 4 days, Jesus calls him out of the tomb. And then there was the teaching. Yeah, he taught with authority. He taught. He was different. In every way, he was different, and yet in every way, he was the same. For years, for centuries, for millennia, the people had been waiting for one who would come. One who would restore the Jewish kingdom. He would come in power. It should have been Jesus. It should have been him. But yet just one week after the people waved him into the city, those same people took his life. Damn the Romans. Damn the Romans with their crucifixion. What a way to die. And so they trudge slowly down the road to Emmaus. The pain is too great. It's too raw. They can't see anything around them. It was never part of the plan for him to die. It's never part of the plan. But you see, as they trudge in that misery, they're not alone. Because a man, we know it's Jesus, they didn't, comes and walks beside them. And look at the question. He says, "What happened?" And they say to him, Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened? What about that for irony? Look that up in the dictionary for irony. little picture beside the word irony of this scene in Emmaus Road. You've just asked the Creator, the one who was created, or not who created the world, who was never created himself. He just asked him, did he know what happened on that hill outside Jerusalem? But the risen Jesus is there with them, and he has news for them, and he has news for us. It was all part of the plan. From the very beginning, from the moment Adam failed the test, there was one promised who would crush the evil one, who would crush death, who would crush the serpent. From the moment Adam failed that test and decided he wanted to be God, the same thing every man, woman, and child wants. Every man, woman, and child does. To rule their own life. God promised one who would come and crush the serpent, but the serpent would bruise his heel. See, it wasn't going to be an easy fight. It was going to come at a cost. But it was all part of the plan. And Jesus is the better sacrifice. In years gone by, the people of God were rescued from Egypt, saved from the angel of death by the blood of a lamb on the door. And you see, Jesus is the better sacrificial lamb. His blood doesn't save us from Egypt, saves us from death and from sin. Jesus is the better Adam, the better Moses, the better David. He's the one who passed the test that you and I failed. He died as one of us to rescue us from the curse. Let me read you these words, written hundreds of years before Jesus ever lived. It's from the Message translation of Isaiah 52. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man. Even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true, still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. Now maybe even some of you who come here regularly, you know, have problems with the Bible. Lots of controversial things in the Bible. Lots of things that ring out against our culture. Lots of questions that you want to ask. Let me say this to you this morning. It's Tim Keller, an American preacher and teacher, said this. I meet lots of people. You tell me they have all sorts of problems with Christianity. And they have all sorts of questions and things that they need to have answered and they want to have answered before they believe. And I always ask them, I say to them, so you're saying that Jesus didn't rise from the dead? And they say, No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I was talking about something completely different. I want to ask them a question. And I say to them, start at the resurrection. Start at the resurrection. Why? Well, because if it didn't happen, and if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. But if Jesus Christ raised from the dead, oh, then it matters. Then it changes everything. You might not have all the answers immediately, but you'll know that the answers can be found. And you know something, if you're skeptical here this morning about the resurrection, well, you're in good company. These two guys on the road to Emmaus, they were pretty skeptical too. They'd been told the tomb was empty. They just thought it was two women who were, you know, they're mad. And maybe you think that this is all a fake account, all made up. See, the problem with that is that Luke says he's providing a historical account. That's what he says he's doing. And in the time that this story is set, women had no standing. None. Their testimony wasn't accepted in court. The last thing you would do in that time is to say that the first two people who saw Jesus were women. You want to make a story up, you don't start there. And then what about the apostles, the disciples? The most useless, socially inept group of guys you could pull together. Jesus Christ, at one time when he's talking to them, he says, are you so dull? The translation of that is, why are you so thick? These are guys who regularly miss the point. They don't understand what Jesus is saying to them. And when it really, really mattered, they were nowhere to be found. And yet, it's to these men that the church is entrusted. It is to them that it's entrusted. They are the ones who go out and change the world. And I don't care who you are, these guys change the world. That's just fact. What was it that changed them? What changed these men? Well, you see, it's the same thing that should change every one of us. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changes everything. These men go from being idiots to being theologians. They go from being fearful to being fearless to dying for what they believe in. And you know something? I say this to the Christians who are here this morning. If the resurrection is true, if you believe it is true, then there's no more half in, half out. It's all in or all out. No more second best for our faith, our church, and our Lord. Colin put up on the screen, it demands our love, our soul, my life, and my all. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, then look at the resurrection. Start there. Because the greatest curse of this world, the greatest curse of this world, I'm a pastor, you know, hey, I go to funerals. The reality of it is, the greatest curse this world has is death. That's the truth. I want to have someone who I can trust with my death. Why? Because he conquered death. That's what it means. If he rises again, he conquers death. You know, as we close this morning, I want you to see one final moment. The moment when all the doubts of the disciples just disappeared. When Jesus came and stood before them, he was no ghost. He could eat. And more importantly, they could touch him. Feel him. And you know, he had a resurrected body. He was restored in all ways except one. He still had the scars on his hands and on his feet. He still had the scars. Scars that speak of eternity stepping into time. Scars that speak of rescue. Scars that speak of an unimaginable love. You know, a wise man, it was a Hudson Taylor told this story the first time. And he talked about a Chinese Christian. And the Chinese Christian said, describe the difference between Jesus Christ and Buddha and Confucius. He said, the man was in a hole, down deep in the hole. And Confucius came past and said, oh, look, you're down in the hole. You're down in the hole. He said, if only you'd listened to me, you wouldn't have fallen in the hole. And Buddha walked past and said, well, if you can just kind of rise up, get yourself up here, rise up. You'll get out of the hole. Jesus Christ came along and said, oh, you're in a hole. I'll come down and get you. I'll come down and get you. My prayer this morning is that you will know, really know, that this man, Jesus Christ, the carpenter's son from a Roman provincial backwater, is the Son of God. He is the one who was promised. He is the one who crushed death. It was the plan from the very beginning, and it changes everything. I pray that you will come and see this Savior. That you will see him this morning and this Easter time. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we are lost in wonder. We have done nothing to deserve your love. We have turned away from you. We have run our lives our way. Lord, we repent. We turn back to you this morning. On this glorious morning when you conquered death. We love you, Lord Jesus. But more importantly, we thank you for your love for us. Coming across time, calling us. calling us to come and see the scars, see the wounds on the side, and to say, I trust you. I trust you with your death, and I trust you with my death, so that we may walk with our God and our Creator forevermore. Amen. I hope that you have a wonderful Easter. I hope that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope that if you do already know him as your Lord and Savior, that this Easter, you allow him to change everything.